Mali.
Mali.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Brahim Mishpahim, which is in Hebrew, blessings to my family. Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold water to a weary soul, so is a good report from a far country. I come today from far away, from the land of Israel, the promised land of Yahweh, and Yahweh's eternal capital, Jerusalem. We are living in the most amazing time that man has ever seen. Where Yahweh is restoring all things the way it was, like the Garden of Eden. Yeshua told his disciples in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, that kings and prophets would have loved to see what you see. And yet they didn't see it. For thousands of years, Jewish people all over the earth, when they would see each other, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. And the term next year in Jerusalem, it meant so much more than just being in Jerusalem to keep the feast. Because for 2,500 years, there was no nation of Israel. The Gentiles had taken it over. First the Babylonians, then the Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans, and then even the Arabs after the Arab conquest. So when a Jewish person would say, next year in Jerusalem, it meant that Israel was a nation again. That Yahweh was fulfilling his promise to his servant Abraham. And it meant that the tribes of Israel were coming home. It meant that we were right on the advent of the Messiah returning. And here we are living in this wonderful time. I want to share with you this morning the importance of the land of Israel being restored in the end time. Because actually, Israel being a nation again was the very sign that we knew we were in the beginning of the last days. So let's go to Matthew 24. In verse 32, and Yeshua says something very interesting. We know Matthew 24 is what they call the Olivet Prophecy. Because Yeshua gave it to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. But it's all about our time. It's all about the end time. And he tells them how bad things will get. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And famines and pestilence. And I'm not really going to talk too much about that today. Because you live and you see many of these things are happening today. But then in verse 32, Yeshua said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When you see its branch becomes tender, and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, Know that it is at the door. Now you have to understand, have a Hebraic mind to understand this. Because the fig tree is different than other trees. And particularly the fig in Israel is even different than other figs around the world. Most of the time the plant comes up. Then you'll see green leaves. Then you'll see a fruit come out. And then the fruit grows, and when it's ready, you pick it. But it's not like that way with the fig tree in Israel. The fig tree in Israel, the leaf and the fruit come out quickly together. So Yeshua is telling us, this will not take hundreds and hundreds of years to happen. But when you start to see the things he speaks about, know the end is coming. Matter of fact, the next verse, he says, truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. So now, everything in the end time will be fulfilled in one generation. Now there's another interesting thing that this scripture means. Because Yeshua said, watch the fig tree. He gave a parable about a physical fig tree. But there's a spiritual application we also have to
prepare.
Who is the fig tree in scripture? Let's go to Jeremiah 24. Remember, the Bible says there's no private interpretation. We let the Bible interpret the Bible. Isaiah says, here a little, there a little. So we have to put these scriptures together with the Spirit of Yahweh, and then we hear His Word. Jeremiah 24 says, Yahweh caused me to see, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the sanctuary of Yahweh. After Nebuchadnezzar had exiled Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the members of Judah. One basket had very good figs, like ripe first figs. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten from badness. And Yahweh said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see figs. The good figs are very good and the bad figs are very bad. So that they cannot be eaten from their badness. Again, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. Like these good figs, I will acknowledge the exiles of Judah whom I've sent out of this place to the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again into this land. And I will build them and not tear down. And I will plant them and not pluck up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. And like the bad figs which cannot be eaten from badness, so says Yahweh, I will make Zedekiah the king of Judah and his rulers and the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in this land and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will even make them a horror among the kingdoms of the earth for evil and a reproach and a proverb and a curse where all the areas where I will drive them. And I will send the sword and the famine and the plague among them until they are consumed from being upon the land I gave to them and their fathers. So very clearly, Israel is the fig tree. Yahweh will bring Israel back into their land again in the end time. And that is going to be the beginning of what we know as the last days. In a little while, I'll prove to you that we are in the last generation. Because there's other scriptures that also confirm this. But before that, I want to show you the amazing miracles that Yahweh is doing with Israel in these last days. Let's go to Isaiah, the 35th chapter. And you know, when Israel became a nation in
1948,
it was a desert wilderness. It was much more wilderness than even here in Ethiopia. Compared to the size of Israel in
1948,
there was more malaria in Israel than anywhere else on earth. Matter of fact, many eucalyptic trees were taken from Australia. And they were planted in Israel. Because they take so much water to dry up the swamps. You probably all have heard from the Bible the Sea of Galilee. It's the main water source in Israel. About 70% of the people in Israel get their water from that one lake. But north of there was another lake. It's called Hula, the Hula Valley. And they actually drained the water in the lake because of the malaria. They realized that was a big mistake. Because millions and millions of birds stop there every year when the seasons change from winter to summer. I find it amazing when I watch it every year. Because they don't even need a visa or a passport or nothing. But they all vacation right there in Yahweh's land. So when we look at Isaiah 35, it's really a great prophecy. In verse 1, it says, the wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice for them. And the desert shall exult and bloom like the crocus. If you drop down to verse 6, then the lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters will break out in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the mirage shall become a pool. And the land shall become springs of water. In the home of the jackals and the lyre, in the place for the reed and the rush. Now many people used to think this was just poetic. Yet about 20 years ago, when you drive down in the desert in South Israel, all of a sudden from underground, gushing out, water was coming out in the desert. They had no idea that there were artesian wells underneath that ground. And exactly like the scripture says, Yahweh started pouring water in the desert. And now they're growing grass and palm trees. They're literally making cities down there in the wilderness. And Yahweh's word is being fulfilled. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. In verse
8.
Let will you become tight. Sit.
Thank you. It says, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shall put out your branches and your fruit. You shall hear from my people Israel. You shall bear from my people
Israel.
For they are drawing near to me, near to come. For behold, I am for you. And I will turn you. And you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men on you. All the house of Israel, all of it. And the city shall be inhabited. And the waste places shall be built. And I will multiply men on you. And beast. And they will increase and be fruitful. And I will make you dwell as you formerly were. And I will do better than at your beginning. And you will know that I am Yahweh. Yea, I will cause men to walk on you. My people Israel. And they will possess you. And you will be an inheritance for them. And not anymore increase their bereavement. Now, in the late 1800s, a very famous writer by the name of Mark Twain. You may have heard of him, he's a famous writer. He visited Israel in the late
1800s.
And he couldn't believe that this was the promised land. It was a place filled with malaria, like I said. There were no trees. The land wasn't cultivated, it was just dirt. And he couldn't understand it. But it was because the time was not right yet. It wasn't right yet in the 1800s for the fig tree to come. But like I said, after
1948,
in the beginning of this last generation, and Yahweh making Israel a nation again, all of a sudden rain started coming that hadn't come in hundreds and hundreds of years. The gardens and the farms started growing again. Since 1948, they've planted almost 400 million trees in the land of Israel. And you could ask Brother Kolang, today it's looking like the Garden of Eden. Another sign we're close to the end. Exactly like the scripture I just read here. If we drop down to verse
35,
I'll start in verse
34.
And the desolated land shall be cultivated rather than being a ruin in the eyes of all those passing by. And they shall say, this land that was desolated has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolated and raised cities are fortified and inhabited. And the nations left all around you shall know that I, Yahweh, built the raised places. And I, Yahweh, planted which was desolated. I, Yahweh, had spoken it, and I will do it. Yahweh wrote this scripture more than 2,500 years ago. And you're living in the days today to see this fulfilled. When Israel became a nation in
1948,
there was only a couple of 100,000 people living there. Like I said, very, very desolated place. But exactly as Yahweh promised here, He has built up the land of Israel in these last 65 years. Israel exports more than 5 billion flowers a year. As you drive around Israel right now, what they call winter, you'll see every color of beautiful flower naturally growing everywhere. You'll see beautiful trees everywhere you look. And even forests again in the Carmel Mountains and other places. And now there's more than 7 million people living in the land of Israel. Can you imagine? 2,500 years ago this was written. And you're living to see it with your own eyes. Because Israel being restored in the end time, is the circular pattern of Yahweh's work being fulfilled. And as Yahweh is fulfilling each of these scriptures, He is mightily building also His end time work from Jerusalem. And each of you are part of that work. Let's go to Isaiah 43. It's a really interesting scripture that pertains to you.
Isaiah 43.
And verse 5. He says, fear not, I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east. And I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, do not hold back. Bring my sons from afar, and bring my daughters from the ends of the earth. Now this is a really interesting prophecy. Because when Israel becomes a nation, where do the people come from? The Jews. They come east from Europe. And they come west from Iraq and those nations. And that fulfills verse 5. But verse 6 says, don't hold back. Also bring my people from the north and the south.
In
1989, the Iron Curtain falls. And hundreds of thousands of Russian Jews start coming back home. From the north, from Russia, Ukraine, all these areas. But what about the south? What south of Israel? Ethiopia, you're south of Israel.
Ethiopia,
in 1991, the Ethiopian government said they were going to allow the Jews, the Ethiopian Jews, to go back. They got to the airport in Addis Ababa, and they changed their mind. They wouldn't let them go. But your Ethiopian brothers refused to leave. They said, "We've come too far. We're not looking back." They lived in that airport for a year. And one of the most amazing stories in modern Israel today. In 1991, Israel comes with 35 major jet planes. And they airlift all those Ethiopians back to the homeland. Today in the government, they're talking about bringing more Ethiopians home. I meet with the government at least once a month. And with Yahweh's will, I know you will be next. When you look at these prophecies, written 2,500 years ago. You know what people said before 1948? They said, "Oh, this is just spiritual." This isn't talking about Israel, this is talking about the church. It's a lie of Satan. These scriptures I read you are literally being fulfilled by Yahweh. And the same way that thousands of your fellow Ethiopian brothers are living in the land of Israel today and thriving, will also give you opportunity. Will also give you opportunity. And Yahweh's timing to come also. This is why it's so exciting, this trip. Because Yahweh's spirit is moving upon his people and upon his work. And the doors that Yahweh is opening through the Prime Minister's office. Through the Ministry of Diaspora and Foreign Affairs. Through the Knesset. They're not doors that are opening for me. They're doors that Yahweh is opening for his people worldwide. Let's go to Isaiah 61. In verse 4. It says, "And they shall build old ruins, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall restore the way cities, ruins of generations and generations." This is talking about archaeology. If you go to any major city in Israel, like Beersheba, where Abraham dug his well, you have what they call Tel Sheva. The word Tel means rune. And then you have the new city right next to it. So exactly like the scripture says, they're going to rebuild the old tells that are 1,000 years old. And they're going to build new cities right next to it. Now the amazing part with also with scriptures like this, archaeology is only 140 years old.
An archaeology find
yet this scripture is written more than 2,700 years ago. I've had the blessing for the last 15 years of working with the best archaeologists in Israel. Elder Kolang and Elder Adrian can tell you. These men, they teach us at our school. They take us to the places that they're finding. In archaeology, the stones are crying out. With the word of Yahweh. About 2 years ago, they found ancient Magdala, where Mary Magdalene was from. And they found the oldest synagogue in all of Galilee. A synagogue that Yeshua would have sat in himself. And they found this beautiful decorative stone. The oldest decorative stone with a big menorah on it. So archaeology is really also fulfilling Bible prophecy. Let's go now to the book of Zechariah. Because we know that Yahweh dwells in Jerusalem. We know that Jerusalem is Yahweh's eternal capital. We know that Yahweh set apart Jerusalem from the Garden of Eden. And we know that Yeshua will dwell in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and beyond. Yet for many years, Jerusalem was desolated. As was the land of Israel, like we spoke about. Yet in these end times, Yahweh has restored it and rebuilt it. He's restored the physical city itself. And he's restored his work that goes forth from there. We know the law goes forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Zechariah 1 and verse 12. It says, and the messenger of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, until when will you not have pity on Jerusalem? And on the cities of Judah against which you've cursed these 70 years. And Yahweh answered the messenger who was talking with me with good words. Words of comfort. So the messenger who was talking with me said to me, cry out. So says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and with the great anger I am angered with the haughty nations, and that I was a little angry, but they gave help for evil. In 1948, when the United Nations voted to make Israel a nation, you could read the UN Charter online. I believe it's UN Charter 122.
UN Charter and Quality General.
It clearly states that although it does create the nation of Israel, that Jerusalem, though, would be an international city run by the UN. And that's why Yahweh says he's angry with these nations. Because he's restoring his people Israel. And the UN is trying to set up for the
anti-Messiah.
For 19 years, from 1948 to
1967,
exactly one 19-year time cycle, Jews could not even go and pray at the Wailing Wall. But then something happened in
1967.
All of Israel's enemies came against them. They came from Syria.
Syria.
They came from Iraq.
Iraq.
They came from Jordan.
Jordan.
And all around they attacked.
Israel.
Including Egypt.
Egypt.
And in 6 days, Israel defeated them all. This tiny little nation with just a few million people defeated half a billion Muslims. And they overtook Jerusalem. My neighbor, who I live with in the north, was one of the first six soldiers to overtake the city of Jerusalem. And they went to the wall to pray, and they were crying and praising Yahweh. And finally, Jerusalem was restored. If we go back to verse 17 now, of Zechariah 1, he says, "Cry out again, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, my city shall again overflow with goodness. And Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem." So again, clearly fulfilling the scripture. First Israel would be a nation, but they would hold back Jerusalem. Yahweh would get angry, and then he would deliver Jerusalem to his people. Zechariah 2 and verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell among you, says Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day. And they shall be my people. And I will dwell among you. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Do you notice here that the Messiah who's coming, although his name is Yahweh, who is Yahweh Yeshua, he's saying that Yahweh in heaven is sending him. Clearly showing Yahweh the Father and Yahweh the Son. And verse 12, and Yahweh shall possess Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and he shall again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before Yahweh. For he is raised out of his holy habitation. So Yahweh is not very happy at the nations right now. Psalms, the second chapter, says the kings of the earth make their plans. But Yahweh in the heavens laughs at them. They tried to destroy the Jewish, our Jewish brother through the Holocaust. But Yahweh wouldn't allow it. And now they're going to try it again. Go to Zechariah 12. You know, Zechariah is a beautiful book. A book all about the end time. And we're actually reading scriptures written thousands of years ago that we're seeing Yahweh fulfilled today. Zechariah 12,
Zechariah 12,
verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all people.
Verse 2.
All around. And it shall also be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. In that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the people. All who lift it shall be cut in pieces. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. We're seeing that today. Jerusalem is not a city of oil. It's a city of stone. The only oil you have in Jerusalem is olive oil. So why would all the nations on the earth be worried about Jerusalem? They're not worried about New York? They're not worried about Paris? They're not worried about Moscow or Beijing? All the world says Israel is holding up world peace. Do you know since the United Nations was formed in 1945? There are more UN resolutions against Israel than every nation put together. The terrorists, Hamas and Hezbollah, will attack Israel. And Israel will defend itself. And the UN will condemn them. Where was the United Nations in 1981 to 2000 in Sudan? Where was the United Nations when you were going through a genocide? They looked the other way.
Why are we going to read it yet?
Because it wasn't as important enough to them. But Yahweh never looks the other way.
But Yahweh
has seen your toil. And Yahweh has seen your faithfulness. And Yahweh will repay you for your faithfulness. And the time is coming soon. But Jerusalem. Jerusalem, this tiny little city that produces nothing, is causing all this chaos. Because it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. Where did all the trouble for mankind start? In the Garden of Eden. Where was the Garden of Eden? In Jerusalem. It started in the Garden of Eden in Jerusalem. It's ending in the Garden of Eden in Jerusalem. I read you the scripture in Ezekiel 36 that said, Israel that was desolate will be like the Garden of Eden again. And it's already happening. And that's why Satan is fighting Yahweh's work there. I thank you so much for your prayers every day. Because it's a spiritual battle there. And I know I'm very high on Satan's hit list. I'm very high on Satan's hit list. Because he hates the work of Yahweh. But it's the Spirit of Yahweh with all of us together that overcomes that. Let's go back to Zechariah 12. In verse 6. Just like I was telling you, all these hundreds of millions of Arabs, all attacking tiny Israel. How can they survive? But look at the prophecy in Zechariah 12:6. In that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. And like a torch of fire among cut grain. And they will devour all the people around. On the right and on the left. Israel today is the fourth most powerful military in the world. How could this tiny little country with just a few million people be the most fourth powerful military in the world? Even in ancient times, during the time of King David, it wasn't as powerful as it is today, militarily wise. But again, it's fulfilling prophecy. It's fulfilling the word of Yahweh. And look at the next verse, the next line. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again. In her place, Jerusalem. Like I said, for many years, Jerusalem was desolated. But today, Jerusalem is thriving. More than 1 million people live in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is in her place again in Jerusalem. And Yahweh's blessing is with them. Israel could not be the nation they are today without Yahweh's miracles and intervention. I told you in
1948,
the United Nations voted for Israel to become a nation. They just passed the vote by one vote. But at that point, they had no army. Very few people. And immediately the whole Arab world declared war in Israel. And yet Israel won the war. With only a few thousand soldiers, with only one tank. Very few guns. Israel won the war. In 1967, the same thing. All the Arab nations come against them. And tiny little Israel in 6 days conquers the Arab world. I want to tell you some stories now that you don't hear in the normal news. The stories are absolutely true. They're documented in Israel. And the only way that Israel won those wars was by the hand of Yahweh. In 1967, one of the first things Israel did was bomb the air force of Egypt. When the Six-Day War started. Egypt sent thousands of soldiers out to attack Israel. All of a sudden, the Israeli command, they see one Israeli soldier and thousands of Egyptian soldiers marching in line, one by one, for miles. They couldn't believe it. Why wouldn't thousands of Egyptians? There's only one Israeli soldier. So they asked the Egyptians. They said, there's thousands of you. There's only one of him. Why would you be captured? Why didn't you hit him over the head and take his gun? Kill him. And the Egyptian said, oh, we weren't afraid of that soldier. And we weren't afraid of his gun. But when we saw all those angels around him, we were not going to fight the angels. Go to Isaiah 30. And let's see how this fulfilled another prophecy. Isaiah 30 and verse 17. One thousand will flee at the rebuke of one. You shall flee from the rebuke of five until you are left like a pole on the top. How good is Yahweh?
Hallelujah.
There's a man in Israel, a very good friend of mine. He's a war hero. His name is Gershom Solomon. He runs an organization called the Temple Mount Faithful. They're trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. When you see this man, he's very old. He walks with a cane. Because he was injured in the Six-Day War. He was up toward the Syrian border. And his command got attacked by a bunch of Syrians. He risked his life and went in one by one and carried all of his men to safety. And then he got shot in the leg. And he fell to the ground. And all of a sudden, he saw all the Syrian soldiers around him. And they were yelling in Arabic. Because he was very, very high on their hit list to kill. And he heard them saying, that's him, kill him, kill him. And he started praying to Yahweh. And they started cocking their guns to shoot him. And the next thing you know, he looked up. He saw angels around him with swords like this. With fire coming out of the swords. The Arabs screamed at the top of their lungs and dropped their guns and ran in the other direction. True story. True story. There are many, many stories like this in Israel. Another story was near the old city. Same thing, just a few Israeli soldiers. more than 200 or 300 Arabs that were attacking them. Near the southern wall. The Israelis ran out of ammunition. And they started saying goodbye to each other in Hebrew. As the Arabs were coming, advancing to shoot them, they saw this gigantic angel, 9 feet tall. And they started screaming, Abraham, Abraham! They thought it was Abraham. And they all went running in the other direction. See, Israel has a very good army. But I'll tell you a little secret. They're not that good. They get a little help from Yahweh. Yahweh supports them. And Yahweh leads them. Do you know that every year in Israel you have thousands of potential terror attacks? More than 99% are stopped. By miracles. If you hear the stories of the men who tell them, an Arab will plant a bomb in a place. In a garbage can in a mall. And there's 1,000 garbage cans in that mall. But a voice will tell the guard, look in that can. And he'll find the bomb. If you remember a couple of years ago, the Israeli army went into Gaza. They called it Kasled. And yet, none of the soldiers died. They couldn't figure it out. Because in Gaza, it's a very, very small city. And they had to go house to house looking for the terrorists. And the terrorists booby-trapped all the houses with bombs. But this woman showed up. She was dressed like somebody in the Bible from thousands of years ago. And she was speaking ancient Hebrew. And she was calling herself Mother Rachel, Mother Rachel. And she would tell the soldiers, don't go in that house. Go in that house, that's where the enemy is. And each time, they were saved. Yahweh has done amazing, amazing miracles. There was one miracle in
1973.
During the Yom Kippur War. A battalion of soldiers was stuck up in the Golan Heights. And the Syrians put more than 4 million mines up in that area. And they were stuck. They got stuck in the minefield. Now you know you can't see these mines. And just one wrong move, you'll blow your leg off or kill yourself. And it was the night. Although it was full moon, they could see by the moon. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, this wind came. The soldiers say it was like something they've never seen in their life. Almost like a hurricane. They said they had to hold on to the tree not to blow away. But it only lasted maybe 10 or 12 minutes. By the time the wind stopped, more than 15 inches of topsoil was blown away. And every mine was exposed. Not one soldier died. Yahweh cares for his promised land. And Yahweh cares for his people. Like I said, we're living in an amazing time. Because Yahweh is preparing that land for us. Yahweh is preparing that land for his kingdom. And Yahweh is preparing that land to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham 2,800 years ago. Go to Genesis 13.
In verse 14.
And after Lot had separated from him, Yahweh said to Abram, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your seed always. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your seed can also be counted. Rise up. Walk through the land in the length and in the breadth, and I will give it to you. Then Abram moved from his tent and came and lived among the oaks of Mamre, which is in
Hebron.
And he built an altar there to Yahweh. If you go to Genesis 17, we see the same thing. And when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will increase you greatly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spoke with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Your name no longer shall be called Abram, but shall be Abraham, for now I have made you a father of many nations. He instead of just being a father of one, he made him a father of many. And I will make you very fruitful exceedingly. And I will give to you nations. And kings will come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. And your seed after you. In their generations. For you an everlasting covenant. To be an Elohim to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and your seed after you the land of your sojourning. All the land of Canaan. For an everlasting possession. And I will be their Elohim. Clearly, this is the promise to Abraham. And to the seed of Abraham. Abraham wasn't promised heaven. But he was promised the very land of Israel. If you go to Galatians 3. In verse 29. It says, and if you were of the Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. So as children of Abraham, we have the same reward as Abraham. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what your race is. What matters is once you come into covenant with Yahweh through Yeshua, you become a seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So what does the restoration of Israel have to do with you? Absolutely everything. Because these promises are not just to the ancient nation of Israel. They're to the spiritual seed of Abraham, which each and every one of you are part of. Jeremiah 31.
Jeremiah,
in verse
1.
He says, at that time, says Yahweh, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel. And they shall be my people. We love our brother Judah. We support our brother Judah. But Judah is only one tribe. There are 12 tribes of Israel. And I'll speak more about that later in the afternoon. But Yahweh clearly says he's not only bringing our brother Judah back to Israel, but he's bringing all the tribes of Israel. If we go over to Ezekiel 36, in verse 12, Yahweh says, yea, I will cause men to walk on you. My people Israel. And they will possess you. And you will be an inheritance to them. And will not any more increase their bereavement. You drop down to verse 23. Yahweh says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. We may have been ignorant, but still we profaned the name of Yahweh by using God. But part of this end time prophecy is that Yahweh is restoring His one and only true name. And He's doing it through His congregation. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. See, how can the nations know who Yahweh is if we don't sanctify Yahweh as His children? Before we go back to the Holy Land, Yahweh wants us to witness of His name in all the nations where we've been scattered. And then He'll take us home. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands. And I will bring you into your own land, the land of Israel. Then I will sprinkle pure waters on you. And you will be purified. And I will cleanse you from all your defilement and from all your idols. And this is why it's important to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. Not for receiving His Holy Spirit, but because we want to purify His name among the nations. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be a people to me. And I will be Elohim to you. I will also save you from your defilements. I will call for grain and increase it. And I will not put famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field. In order that you will not receive any more the disgrace of famine among the nations. And you will remember your evil ways that you were doing where you came from. And you will despise yourself in your eyes for your iniquities and your abominations. Let it be known that I am not doing this for your sake, says Yahweh Adonai. Be confounded in your ways, O house of Israel. Drop down to verse 36. And the nations left all around you will know that I, Yahweh, built the raised places and planted that which was desolated. I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it. So says Adonai Yahweh. Yet for this I was sought by the house of Israel to act for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. And here's a prophecy now that is being fulfilled today in Jerusalem. Like a holy flock, like the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast. So the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men. And they will know that I am Yahweh. One of the greatest blessings in my personal life is that Yahweh has chosen me to fulfill this scripture of having the feast again in Jerusalem. Never before in the history of the Bible have Israelites in diaspora from all over the world been blessed to come to Jerusalem at feast time in the name of Yahweh. We have people between 20 and 30 countries every year at Sukkot. Coming from all over the world to the name of Yahweh. So literally our congregation is fulfilling this prophecy today. Jeremiah 33
in
verse
7.
Says, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. And I will build them as the first. Amos the 9th chapter.
Amos 9:1.
For behold, I will command and I will shake the house of Israel among the nations. As one shakes with a sieve, yet not a grain will fall to the ground. Drop down to verse 14. And I will bring back the captivity of my people, Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and live in them. And they shall plant vineyards. And they will drink the wine of them. They will also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them on their land. And they will never again be pulled up from their land, which I have given to them, says Yahweh your Elohim. The word of Yahweh is sure. And the fact that Israel is a nation again, the fact that Judah is already living there, is proof that Yahweh will take the rest of his people and the tribes of Israel back. I want to go to Psalm 102. Because in this psalm, it's very interesting. The psalm talks about the Holocaust. And it clearly shows us. It clearly shows us that we are the last generation before the kingdom of Yahweh comes. Psalm 102. The prayer of the afflicted. When he is faint and pours out his complaint against Yahweh. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. Bow down your ear to me in the day I call. Answer me quickly. For my days are finished in smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. I'm sure you heard the many stories of the Holocaust, where more than 6 million Jews were killed. Many of them, literally, their bodies burned to death in the crematoriums. Exactly like it says here. My heart is stricken and dried like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the voice of my sighing, my bones cleave to my flesh. If you look at the pictures from the Holocaust, all you see is bone and skin. You can't even tell if it's a male or a female. Because there was so much starving to death, just like the scripture says. If you drop down to verse 8, my enemies curse me all the day long. My very name is being used as a curse against me. Why did they kill 6 million Jews? What was their crime? Their crime was simply that they were Jewish. They would make them wear yellow armbands that said Jew, Yehuda. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and I have mixed my drink with weeping. Literally, the way the wind would be blowing, Sometimes the very ashes of the people's family would be blowing in their mouth. Just like the scripture says. Verse 10. Because of your anger and your wrath, for you have lifted me and cast me down. But my days are like a shadow stretched out, and I wither like grass. But you, O Yahweh, shall dwell forever. And your memory to generation and generation. You shall arise. Have mercy on Zion. For the time to pity her. Yea, the appointed time has come. See, everything is in Yahweh's timing. And absolutely everything Yahweh does in Scripture is through His timing. The holy days are at a certain time. The Passover is the 14th day of the first month. The Messiah came at a certain time. And here he's saying, at the appointed time, return Israel to being a nation. You shall arise, have mercy on Zion, for the time to pity her, yea, the appointed time has come. May 14th, 1948. Israel's a nation again. How long will they be a nation? Yeshua told us. This generation will not pass till all these things happen. So clearly in Yahweh's word, he gives us the timing. For your servant take pleasure in its stones and pity its dust. Archaeology. We talked about it. So nations will fear the name of Yahweh. And all the kings of the earth your glory. And here's the important verse 16. When Yahweh will build up Zion, He will appear in His glory. Zion's never been more built than now. Zechariah 12:6. Jerusalem is in its place, in Jerusalem. It's a stumbling stone of all nations. It's all happening. When Yahweh builds up Zion, the Messiah will appear. And who is it written to? Verse 18. This shall be written for the last generation. And the people to be created shall praise Yahweh. This is written for the last generation. So clearly we see in these end times that Yahweh is restoring His work and His land and His covenant. Let's go to the book of Joel as we start to end up here for now. Joel, the third chapter.
Verse 1 and 2.
For behold, in those days and at that time, wherever you see that term in the Bible, it's a Jewish idiom. It's talking about the last days, the end time. So behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring again the exiles of Judah and Jerusalem, Yahweh already did it, they're already there. I will also gather all nations. And I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there. For my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations, and they divided my land. The last thing to come before Yahweh's kingdom to be set up is a great war that's coming in Jerusalem and Israel. The nations are trying to make a Palestinian state because they are satanically inspired. As we saw from this message today, Yahweh promised that land to Abraham and his seed. But Satan wants to give it to the nations. And when they divide the land of Israel, then Yahweh's wrath is going to come on the people. Unfortunately, a couple of months ago, the United Nations,
the UN,
voted to make a Palestinian state. And just like everything is in Yahweh's timing, I think that started the clock toward this war that's coming. If you go back to Joel 2, Yahweh tells us some signs of this. In verse 30, I will give signs in the heavens and the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and terrible day of Yahweh. Interesting enough, what is this talking about? When is the moon darkened? Or when is the sun darkened and the moon turned to blood? This happens during solar and lunar eclipses. In the year 2014 and 2015, there's a very, very rare tritad of eclipses that are coming. It'll come during Pesach 2014 and Sukkot 2014. Then it will come during Pesach and Sukkot 2015. This is something that is very, very rare. It happened in 1492. The year that Israel was cast out of Spain. And actually the same year America was discovered. It happened in 1947-48 when Israel became a nation. It happened in 1967 when Israel overtook Jerusalem. And now these same eclipses are happening 2014-2015. Afterward, it won't happen for maybe 100 or more years. So it's something we need to watch for. Maybe it's important, maybe not, I don't know. But since the Bible tells us to watch for eclipses, we need to watch. And then verse 32 is very important. For it shall be all who call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Not the name of God. Not the name of Baal. Not the name of Lord. But in this day all who call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. For salvation. For salvation will be in Mount Zion. Salvation is not in New York. Salvation is not in Moscow. Salvation is in Mount Zion. And in Jerusalem. As Yahweh has said. And among the survivors whom Yahweh shall
call.
Back to Joel 3. In verse 17. And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim dwelling in Zion. My holy mountain. And Jerusalem shall be a holy thing. And strangers shall not pass through her. Verse 21. And I will cleanse their blood which I did not cleanse. And Yahweh is dwelling in Mount Zion. There are brethren around the world today who are afraid to come to the feast in Jerusalem. I know in this room every one of you want to come. And there's reasons, there's visas, there's money. But there's brethren in Western society that could come. And they don't come because they're afraid. Can you imagine they're afraid to go to Jerusalem? The Bible says Yahweh's dwelling there. It's Yahweh's capital in eternal headquarters. When the time comes, and when the door is open, and you're able to come, never be afraid to come to where Yahweh dwells. Matthew 24, in verse 32. We talked about this, learn the parable from the fig tree. We said that Israel is the fig tree. Yeshua said that Israel being a nation again is the beginning of the end time. And that's the times we're living in. Drop down to verse 37. But as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two grinding at the mill. One taken, one left. Be alert. Then, for you do not know in what hour your master comes. But know this, if the house master had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be dug through. Because of this, you also be ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is faithful and wise? The servant whom the master has set over his house? To give them the food in season? Blessed is that servant whom his master shall find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all he owns. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, my master delays to come, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the ones drinking, the master of the slave will come in a day that he does not expect it. In an hour he does not know. And he will cut him in two and appoint his place with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, we're getting so close to Yahweh's kingdom. You've suffered so much, many of you, in your life. Don't quit now. Now is the time to strengthen ourselves. Now is the time to be reading our Bible every day. Now is the time to be excited. Because Yahweh is alive in Mount Zion again. And the law is going forth from Jerusalem to all the earth. Now is the time for us to have our loyalty to Yahweh and His work. And now is the time to put our whole heart into this work. Because maybe in this world now, you're not getting a fair reward. Because Satan is the god of this world. But believe me, Yahweh is marking everything in heaven. And when Yeshua returns, His reward is with Him. To give to each according to their work. So anything you sacrifice now for Yahweh and His kingdom, you will be rewarded 1,000-fold. You brethren are an example to other brethren around the world. And by your example, others build their faith. So I want to go to Psalm 37. In verse
3.
He says, trust in Yahweh and do good. Live in the land of Israel. And feed on faithfulness. And delight yourself in Yahweh. That He may give you your heart's desire. You know, I'm really amazed at your faith. When I make a trip like this, I always ask the leader, as I did with Elder Quill, what do the brethren need? Is there something I can bring? And he didn't say they want something physical. He said they want Bibles. And books. And things of Yahweh. And Yahweh is very happy with that. And like I said, He's watching over you. And that special land of Israel. The land we're talking about today, Yahweh has that as an inheritance for his people for all eternity. The last scripture I'd like to read is Deuteronomy 11, starting in verse 11. Because it's such a special land, the land of
Israel.
It's a land not like any other land. I'll start in verse 10, actually. For the land which you are going to possess, it is not like the land of Egypt, from which you came, where you sowed your seed and watered with your foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land which you are entering to possess, it is a land of hills and valleys, drinking water from the rain of heaven. A land which Yahweh, your Elohim, cares for. For the eyes of Yahweh, your Elohim, are always on that land. From the beginning of the year, to the end of the year. There is no other place on earth that Yahweh has set apart for his covenant people like the land of Israel. And like I said, for more than 2,500 years, the land laid desolate and barren. And now in these end times, Yahweh is restoring it as the Garden of Eden. Because he's preparing it for his people that love him. He's preparing it for those who are faithful. He's preparing it for the overcomers. But there's a lot of work still to do. We need to bring this message out here to your neighbors. And to the four corners of the world. So, like I said, it is a wonderful blessing being here. I want to thank Elder Kolang for the great work he's doing in this local area. I want to thank Elder Quill, who has my full support as the overall overseer here in Ethiopia and Sudan. And I want to thank all the other leaders and elders. I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your honesty and your service to Yahweh and his people. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May his countenance lift you up. And may his shalom be on you.